CD 6.
The unicorn pawed the ground. Granny's feet scraped the bridge. "Got here by accident. Can't get back," she said. "Even there'd been one of us, it'd be charging by now. We're about halfway across the bridge."
"Lot of snow run off in that river," said Ridcully doubtfully.
"Oh, yes," said Granny. "See you at the weir."
And she was gone. The unicorn, which had been trying to decide between targets, was left with Ridcully. It could count up to one. It lowered its head. Ridcully had never liked horses, animals which seemed to him to have only the weakest possible grip on sanity. As the unicorn charged, he vaulted the parapet and dropped, without much aerodynamic grace, into the icy waters of the Lancre. The librarian liked the stage. He was always in the front seat on the first night of a new production at any of Ankh's theatres, his prehensile abilities allowing him to clap twice as hard as anyone else, or, if necessary, hurl peanut shells. And he was feeling let down. There were hardly any books in the castle, except for serious volumes on etiquette and animal breeding and estate management. As a rule, royalty doesn't read much. He wasn't expecting to be amazed at the entertainment. He'd peered behind the bit of sacking that was doing service as a dressing room and seen half a dozen heavily built men arguing with one another. This did not bode well for an evening of thespianic splendour, although there was always the possibility that one of them might hit another one in the face with a custard pie. The librarian, an ape of simple but firmly held tastes, considered an episode with custard pies, buckets of whitewash, and especially that bit when someone takes someone else's hat off, fills it with something oozy, and replaces it on the deadpan head while the orchestra plays wah, 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 to be an absolutely essential part of any theatrical performance. Since a roasted peanut is a dangerous and painful item when hurled with pinpoint accuracy, directors in Ankh-Morpork had long ago taken the hint. This made some of the Grand Guignol melodramas a little unusual, but it was considered that plays like The Blood-Soaked Tragedy of the Mad Monk of Quirm, with custard pie scene, were far better than being deaf in one ear for 5 days. He had managed to get the three of them seats in the front row. This wasn't according to the rules of precedence, but it was amazing how everyone squeezed up to make room. He'd also found some peanuts. No one ever knew how he managed that.
"Ook?"
"No, thank you," said Ponder Stibbons. "They give me the wind."
"Ook? I like to listen to a man who likes to talk. Whoops, sawdust and treacle. Put that in your herring and smoke it."
"I don't think he wants one," said Ponder.
The curtain went up, or at least was pulled aside by Carter the Baker. The entertainment began. The librarian watched in deepening gloom. It was amazing. Normally he quite liked a badly acted play, provided enough confectionery stayed airborne. But these people weren't even good at bad acting. Also, no one seemed to be on the point of throwing anything. He fished a peanut out of the bag and rolled it in his fingers, while staring intently at the left ear of Taylor the Other Weaver, and felt his hair rise. This is very noticeable on an orangutan. He glanced up at the hill behind the erratic actors and growled under his breath.
"Ook."
Ponder nudged him.
"Quiet," he hissed. "They're getting the hang of it."
There was an echo to the voice of the one in the straw wig.
"What did she say?"
said Ponder.
"Ook."
"How did she do that? That's good makeup, that."
Ponder fell silent. Suddenly, the librarian felt very alone. Everyone else in the audience had their gaze fastened firmly on the turf stage. He moved a hand up and down in front of Stibbons's face. The air was wavering over the hill, and the grass on its side moved in a way that made the ape's eyes ache.
"Ook."
Over the hill, between the little stones, it began to snow.
"Ook."
Alone in her room, Magrat unpacked the wedding dress. And that was another thing. She ought to have been involved in the dress, at least. She was going to, would have been, the one wearing it, after all. There should have been weeks of choosing the material, and fittings, and changing her mind, and changing the material, and changing the pattern, and more fittings. Although, of course, she was her own woman and didn't need that kind of thing at all. But she should have had the choice. It was white silk with a tasteful amount of lace. Magrat knew she wasn't much up on the language of dressmaking. She knew what things were. She just didn't know the names. All those ruches and pleats.